Welcome to episode 145 of the Family Podcast Network. I feel like you don't ever listen to me.
Welcome to the Family Podcast Network, where we help you work with your tough kids, and even those that aren't. Coming to you from Tuscola, Texas, home and headquarters of the Family Podcast Network, here's your host, Trey Gibson.
Well, hello and welcome to the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. With a master's degree in counseling psychology and 6 years of showing parents how to de-stress the dadgum parenting, I'm your host, Trey Gibson. Date for today is going to be August the 29th, 2012. Topic for today is going to be they just won't listen. Getting action from your kids with your first statement. Yeah, you heard that right. Today, guys, we're going to talk a little bit about how do we get our kids to do what we want on the first try. And I'm talking about without having to threaten their life or to, you know, point a gun at them or something else. How do we get our kids to immediately just bammo respond? How we want them to respond that very first time without having to fight them. Yes, it is possible. No, it's not hard. And you will probably be surprised because they learn this thing in the most peculiar of places. Before we do that, guys, let's get into our housekeeping for today real quick. If you guys want to get free updates on the episodes that I'm kicking out, if you guys want to be able to tell what we talked about today, that's what I do with all of my podcasts, is I subscribe to the email, and if it'll tell me what we're talking about that day, man, I tell you, that's what tells me if I want to listen to it on the way to work that morning, or if I want to save it for while I'm at work, or if I want to listen to it when I'm coming home, that's how I do it. So basically, if you go over to my website at thefamilypodcastnetwork.com, over in the right side, you'll see it says free episode updates. If you fill in your name and email address and hit submit on that little button, then you'll make sure that you never miss one of these episodes and what we're talking about. Guys, also, if you want to like us on Facebook and share us on Twitter and Pinterest and all that other good stuff, I've made little buttons up there. I put that up there, and I'll be honest, just being kind of open and transparent with you guys, it's also about me. I can tell people, hey, listen to my awesome, great show, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, in reality, you know, it speaks to people more. Whenever somebody else says, oh, man, I listen to this guy, Trey, I love his podcast, why don't you go check him out? Because in reality, people want to hear it from you, not the guy who's giving the stuff. So I put those up there. It just helps make my life a lot easier. So if you get a chance and you think about it, just drop by the site, www.familypodcastnetwork.com, and you can click on Pinterest, Facebook, Twitter, any of those good stuff. Stumble upon, you can mail it to somebody, all that junk. You guys know what I'm talking about. Guys, if you want to support the show at 30 cents per episode, that's right. If you feel like you're getting 30 cents, three dimes per episode of help, encouragement, all that other good junk, ideas, thoughts, techniques, tricks, all that junk. If you feel like you're getting that, guys, you can actually support the show. I've made it very easy at the PTACR bar right there at the very top, right below my emblem at Family Podcast Network. PTAG is just my funny little joke for Parents for the Ethical Treatment of Adolescents and Kids, like PETA, Parents for the treatment. Oh, dang it. Now I'm brain farting on this, guys. Parents for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. There we go. Anyway, you guys can do that and help support the show. You can help me do all sorts of things like pay the bills to keep the stuff up and buy new software and whatnot. All right, guys, if you want to contact me, questions, comments, thoughts, what do I do with my kid when? How do I act? What do I do with my kid when they act this way? How do I get my kid to stop? I love answering those questions. That's the kind of stuff I want to get into. So if you want to contact me, guys, you guys can email me at treygibson@thefamilypodcastnetwork.com. You can leave an internet voicemail just by clicking the send me a voicemail button on the right side bar if you've got a microphone hooked up to your phone. Or you can even call if you're sitting listening to this podcast in your car, driving to work, or stuck in traffic. You can actually dial 661-PARENT-0. And again, that's 661-PARENT-0. And you can leave me a message on that I might actually debut and use on the show. So if you want to get on the show, hear your voice, it's always kind of cool when you hear that, and also get a question answered, I would love to answer that question for you. Consider doing that. All right, guys. With all of that out of the way, I do want to do a couple of quick things. I want to do, first off, I want to do an acknowledgement over at the Family Podcast Network on Facebook, which is www.facebook.com/Family Podcast Network. Over there, we had a Tiffany. That's Tiffany with an I on the end. She liked Family Podcast Network on Monday. Just wanted to shoot out some thanks, and man, I should appreciate when you guys like this. I'm only 5 away from being able to get insight activity on my Facebook page. That just means that I can see kind of what are people listening to, what are people clicking and liking the most, and it shows it to me all on Facebook. But you got to have 30 before they'll let you do that. So, Tiffany, I want to say thank you. Thank you for helping me get just a little bit closer to that goal. You guys rock. You guys rock. Before we get into that, guys, I want to throw up just kind of a quick funny real quick. I heard this on, I think on Facebook the other day. Where did I hear it from? I don't know. I can't remember where I found it from. But I was looking around, and I found something called the Parent Rap, and it was called the Funny Parenting Song from Bluefish TV. So I do not take any credit for this video, but this was just an awesome stinking video that I had to bring in and let you guys listen to, because if you're a parent, you'll understand why I think this is funny. So anyway, I'm going to pull this up for you guys and enjoy this absolutely hilarious music video called the Parent Rap.
Don't make me count to 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, it's the Parent Rap, y'all. We may spend most of our time chasing toddlers down, but we still know how to rock the hizzle.
I don't even know what you just said.
In the day back on the block, watching PG-13 movies, staying up way after dark. Then we had a couple shorties, and now we're really flossy, cause now we be rolling with our own little posse in the minivan, or in our little wagon. Let me throw it to moms, cause the little one is sagging.
I used to bling it up, I used to dress real shoe. Now I accessorize the food that's already been chewed. And that's alright, I make this diaper bag look good when I'm walking through the mall trying to wrangle my brood. My PB&Js will set your world on fire. I could make you mac and cheese blindfolded on a wire. I'm wiping the doo-doo, kissing the boo-boos, got them eyes in the back of my head. I see all doo-doo, using your full name so you know I ain't playing. And that's why all my kiddos, they keep saying,
Mom, Mom, she's the bomb, rocking all night till the break of dawn. Cooking MPs so I'll grow up strong. Got my second seatbelt if we crash head on.
Dad, Dad, he's the man. Working real hard to support the clan. Traded in his Porsche for an old sedan. Raising those brows if we get out of hand.
When it comes to candy. I'm a stone cold player, helping out with the homework. I'm an algebra slayer. Wrestle car seats into place without spilling my mug. If I tuck you in at night, you'll be as snug as a bug. Then I'm off in the morning to make that cheese. You may not know this yet, but it doesn't grow on trees. Now, mama, take it, please. What? Take it.
I'm dropping timers like the hot potty training on my tots. Washing all the pants and pots, tying little shoes and knots. Giving knowledge to your brain like if your friendship off a train. You don't have to do the same, not get your toys out of the rain. I'm cleaning every spill, cutting coupons like a bill. If you need parental skill, now you know we are for real. You don't think our rhymes are ill, boy? Then you're grounded for a mil.
Mom, Mom, she's the truth. Making us chill when we pitch a fit. Telling us to share and never to hit. If you can't say something nice, put a sock in it.
Dad, Dad, he's the guy. Never gets tired of playing I Spy. With a constant barrage of kids asking why. And he always pretends he needs another tie.
You know money doesn't grow on trees. Why buy the cow if the milk is free? This won't hurt you as much as it hurts me. If you want dessert, eat another veggie. Close that door, you weren't born in a stable. Sit up straight and kiss your Aunt Mabel. Close your mouth when you chew. Get your elbows off the table. Mom and Dad of the year, check it. That's the label.
It's the Parent Rap, y'all.
And it's a parent.
We're great parents. Mom and Daddy in the house.
Mom and Daddy own the house. Mom and Daddy need to clean the house.
Keep your hands to yourself, boy. Don't make me stop this beat. I'll do it. I'll pull this beat right over.
I just thought that was really great. I mean, that was super clever. And I don't think there's much anybody who's been doing parenting long that can't go, yeah, I get that. I get that. Especially that part where he said he's going to turn over to Mom because the toddler's sagging. That's so funny. Okay. I had to shoot that over to you guys. I'll make sure to include a link in the show note of how you can go find that on YouTube if you want to go listen to that somewhere outside of this podcast. But anyway, okay, we got all this stuff out the way. Let's get into our topic for today, which is they just won't listen. They just won't listen. Getting action from our kids with the first statement. You know, I'm going to be honest. I mean, you know, a lot of this, this came by my wife today. Was we were sitting there working with my son, and he was, you know, she had asked him to do something, and he kind of stopped, and he looked at her, and he just kept on doing it. And it wasn't one of those things where he just, like, kept on doing it, like, what are you going to do about it, huh, sucker? What are you going to do about it? Come on, what? You know, it wasn't a belligerence. But she just stopped, and she looked over at me, and she goes, Dre, what am I doing wrong? And it got me thinking about the other day, Cora had picked up the cat. And I said, Cora, don't pick up the cat. Okay, yeah, and she went toddling about, and the next thing I know, less than 5 minutes later, she picked up the cat again, and then I looked at her, and she looked at me, and she had that look where her butt fell off for a second, and she dropped the cat, just looking at me, and I thought to myself, this little girl knows she's not supposed to pick the cat up. What am I doing wrong? And so I know the answer to these things, and so we had to start putting some things into practice, and our cat doesn't drop that anymore, and our son learned the very, very hard way. To make sure he listens to mom. And I'll tell you guys here in a little bit what we did with that. And no, we didn't have to get a paddle down and whoop butts or anything like that. We didn't have to shout and yell. I'm going to tell you guys what we did that is effective for this and helps make those changes. So today is, again, dedicated to all the parents that are asking those questions. What do I have to do, or what do I do if I have to repeat myself 3 or 4 times? Right? Now, let's be honest. I mean, this is frustrating. And I mean, it drives parents nuts because it is virtually impossible, even for me. Understanding what I understand about this, it's almost impossible for me to not look at all of this and think, man, that little kid's just pushing me. It's really, really hard for us not to, as parents, I mean, let's be straight here. We often interpret this as rebellion, as defiance, belligerence. And then so what do you do when you see that? Well, we know, I gotta bring down the hammer. I gotta drop the hammer of Thor on these little biscuits. But I want you to hear me say this. More often than not, the parents are the ones who are actually teaching their kids that this is okay. Not directly. They're doing it indirectly. Theoretically, we're not teaching our kids through, like, direct action. Here, this is okay to do this. But often we're teaching our kids to do this through inaction. You see, the problem is when you practice this, you know, the first time and then the second time and then finally that third time, you know, after that third warning, you know, now I'm gonna bring down Thor's hammer on my kids. What do our kids learn? Mommy and daddy aren't really serious until that second, third, or fourth time. And then, of course, by that time, what are we doing? We're yelling, getting upset, frustrated, maybe throwing a torpedo at them. You know, I don't know what. But the fact of the matter is that we often allow it to get that far. So before we get into our solutions for today, let's talk real quick. Why is that? Why do we allow this to happen? Why do we let our kids get away with it the first time, and the second time, and the third time? What are those things that motivate us? Let's understand the nature of the beast real quick. Number one is often parents are just being flat-out inconsistent. I admit to this in myself. Because let's be honest. Being consistent with stuff, doing the same thing that we said we would do over and over and over and over and over until they understand how serious we are of it, that crap's tough. It's hard. It's a pain in the butt. We don't want to. At least not every time. Some of those times, you know, we just feel like super parent. And we're like, yeah, I'm going to set great boundaries here. But there are those days where we're tired. We're worn out. We're tired of listening to the crying. And at least I get there. We don't want to do it. The fact of the matter is this. And I mean, there's no other way to cut this pie any different. When it comes to great parenting. I'm not talking good parenting. I'm not talking acceptable parenting. I'm talking great parenting. That parenting that helps you de-stress parenting, which is what most people come to Family Podcast Network for. They want to de-stress their parenting. Most of the time, great parenting is a lot more work. Great parenting is a lot more work than good parenting. Great parenting is a heck of a lot more work than crappy parenting. So my encouragement is this, guys. Stay on the light side. Stay on the light side. It is a lot more effective. It is a lot more effective. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Good and crappy parenting is quicker. It's more reactionary. And I'll be honest, guys, and to a certain element, it is seductive. Because the fact of the matter is, it produces short-term results very quick. But the bottom line to it is that those will be a detriment to us later. I'll tell you what, as a matter of fact, I'm going to give you guys some Star Wars quote here, because I don't think anybody than Parenting Master Yoda could tell it any better.
Is the dark side stronger?
No. But the is your more seductive?
Is the dark side more powerful? No. Quicker, easier, more seductive. Thank you, Master Yoda, for your parenting advice today. Okay, number two. So why do parents have such a hard time often with drawing the line at the very first time? Why do they allow it to go second, third, or fourth before they finally step up and do anything? Often parents aren't really actually willing to do anything. I mean, in most cases, the parents want it to stop. I mean, that's authentic. They really do want it to stop. Whatever's going on, they want them to put their shoes on right whenever they ask. They want them to go brush their teeth when they tell them to. They want them to stop playing video games and do their homework right when they're asking. Most parents want that. But the fact of the matter is that most of them don't want it that bad. They'll get irritated. They'll get upset, frustrated, maybe even yell and scream. But in reality, it's really not worth the effort for them. I see it all the time. From time to time, maybe I'd do it. But the reality is there's no really sincere desire to stop it. They're not really willing to get up and put the effort into what it takes to make that behavior stop. I call it the threshold principle. Threshold basically defines as any point that must be exceeded to produce a result. Right? And so, you know, maybe the kids in the room start kind of fussing each other, but that's not big enough. And then maybe they start going and they start getting a little bit louder, but that's not really enough. And then maybe they start to kind of start, you can hear them start to get slappy and thumpy and kind of hitting and knocking around. And so then you say something to them, kids, stop it! But then they just keep, maybe they get a little quieter, but then they start building up again and again and again, and then you just, kids, quit it! And then again and again and again, and then finally it's that third time, and finally you've had enough, and you just come in there, kids, if you don't stop what you're going to do, and I'm going to rip your head off and bite on your neck. Right, you know? That's the threshold principle. And a lot of people have set their threshold principle so dadgummed high that it comes to the point that they're not really actually willing to do anything. And then third, and this is the third top three things that I see the most, and there's probably more than this, but the third one that I see is that parents genuinely don't like administering the consequence. I told you guys I'd tell you a story about what happened with my son Grant tonight. We were sitting at the table today, and he was messing with the table. And we have one of those clear plastic overcoating that goes over the top of our table. We have a really nice table that can extend out to like a 15-person table, but you can compress it down to a nice small one. We live in a tiny house. We're talking like 800 square feet for the whole house and all six of us. And so we keep it all compressed down. It's a really nice table. We want to take really good care of it. So we have a tablecloth and then one of those plastic, clear plastic covers over it. Well, my son had found a little hole and was tinkering with it, right? So what happens when a kid tinkers with small holes, right? The holes get bigger. So my wife looked at him and said, son, I need you to stop messing with that, okay, please? And he looked at her and he just looked right back to it, just started going right back to it. I don't get the impression it was like, you know, like just total defiance. And I also don't believe that it was like he didn't hear it either, because the minute she said it again, she goes, Grant, what did I just say? Don't do it, you know. And so, I mean, I think he understood what she said the first time. And that was when my wife looked over at me and said, holy junk, Trey, what do I do here? So the fact of the matter is what Grant was banking on was that he knew what Mama was going to do, was that she was going to say it. But really, in reality, he didn't have to really start listening to her until once he'd push her far enough to start yelling at him. And so one of the things that we did was is that we said, you know, one of the privileges in our house is that my wife, because she stays at home, she also makes a wonderful meal for us to sit down and eat, and she almost always makes a dessert, a very wonderful and even somewhat healthy dessert whenever she cooks. I mean, she does a great job. So he, you know, because that's a privilege, he lost his privilege to have dessert tonight because he didn't do what she wanted. You know, she didn't when she asked the first time. And let me tell you, that was a natural consequence. But you know what? My wife kept looking over at me with just that face of, oh, man, do we have to stick to this, Trey? Oh, man, his brother and his other two sisters are getting to eat these things. And we didn't make him sit at the table. We told him he could leave. And he left and then came back and just watched him, just like a starving child from a third world country or something, just watching him eat that dessert, you know, because my wife made an amazing homemade ice cream that had these little chocolate covered cookies to go with it. And anyway, it was just fantastic, but he was just watching these things. And so I think a lot of times parents don't like administering the consequence. They don't like to see their kid have a hard time. They hate seeing their kids miss out or experience discomfort. And so instead of allowing them to suffer those consequences, then what they do is that they'll let them get away with it. You know what just dawned on me? I forgot that was the small problem. That wasn't the big problem. The big problem was that my wife made dinner and put it on a plate. I just remembered all this. Sorry, guys. I totally missed over this. But she had brought the food and set it down. He looked at it and went, oh, bleh. And my wife handled it so perfect. She looked at him and she said, Grant, that really hurts my feelings when you do that. I need you to stop, okay? And he just sat there for a minute, and then she brought him some vegetables, and she put vegetables on it. He goes, oh, bleh, like that again. And that was whenever she said, I tell you what, buddy, because you said that and you did that hurtful thing twice in a row, no dessert, okay, buddy? And I mean, he was destroyed. Not nearly as destroyed as he was at the end of dinner when his sisters were eating ice cream and chocolate-covered cookies, but it was not a good thing for him. So I think a lot of times because parents hate to allow their kids to suffer these consequences, then what they do is they try to bail them out. I understand. I've done it before too. I understand that desire that we don't want our kids to feel that way. And another one, I just thought of this off the top of my head even. I didn't even put this in my show notes for today. But another one to think about is that often I think a lot of times parents are reacting out of their anger. And so when they blow up like that, they give consequences that are too much, and they feel like they need to take back from it. Those are some of the worst things that you can do. Number one, I mean, never try to come up with a consequence in the midst of your just sheer raw anger. Just don't do it. Wait until you chill out for a little bit, then reassess, and then come back to it. Second off, the next worst thing you can ever do is set something and then pull back on it. Because what it teaches a kid is that you're not really going to stick to what you say you're going to do. She's going to feel bad about it later. He's going to feel horrible for saying that, and he's going to take it back anyway. Don't do it. Set the consequence. Make it fair and stick to it. So when parents get these different kinds of feelings, whether it be, you know, things like not really wanting to actually do anything or being upset because they're afraid they don't want to administer the consequence or they want to be inconsistent when they do administer the consequences, you know, what will happen is that parents get frustrated. They get angry because they're not getting the response they want. Which, again, what is that response? We want our kids to do what we ask them when we ask them to do it. So the issue comes down to this. A lot of parents have looked me in the face and said, you know, or they've emailed me and said, Trey, it works, though. If I do it, I mean, it kind of works when I tell them, like, I'm going to come do this to you, you know, it works. The problem is that it only has a tendency to work at the first, because whenever you say, I'm going to count to three, you know, I'm going to count to three. When I count to three, I'm going to come in there. The problem is that it'll get results from them for a little while, because in reality, the kids are unsure what you're going to do if you count down to that one or that zero or whatever number you count down to. And so it works there at the start. So it's tricky. Remember, it's the dark side of the force. It's quicker. It's easier. It's more seductive. But in reality, it's no more powerful. It's actually much weaker, because eventually kids will push it and they'll see what happens when they get to one. And if the answer is nothing, you know, they get for them, the little sinister person goes, ah, look at this. Mom's not really serious about this counting crap. Why even obey it? So what'll happen is by the time that we get serious about it, 3, 2, 1, you better do it. You better do it, young man. You had better not. If you do it, then I'm going to. And then just what happens is it pushes us right up to that point that now we're serious. What are we doing? We're blowing up. We're exploding. We're coming unglued, right? So let's talk today about the solution. So how do we fix this? How do we fix it whenever our kids have got our number, they've got us figured out, and they push us and push us and push us right up until that point that we're quote-unquote serious, right? Which is typically us exploding or whatever else. What do? So before we get into that, guys, I want to make sure we have a very firm understanding. Where do kids learn to do this? Not from their naturally inherent, you know, deceptive nature. It comes from the fact that we teach them it is okay to do. Now, before you feel like I'm dogging on you, you get depressive on me here, I understand. The thing to remember is this. We can unlearn this. If we can teach it to a kid, we can unlearn it in a kid as well. So all hope is not lost. So I'm gonna boil it down to one simple philosophy for you guys. And then we're going to break this down a little bit more and get some more specific. But the simple philosophy is this. This is actually the words of a good friend of mine, Allison Astair. She's a parenting coach, and she is just off the charts good. But she has a quote. She says, "Say it, mean it, and then follow through." I think there's no better way to put it than that right there. You need to say it, you need to mean it, and then you need to follow through with it. All in the same. These are not steps. You don't say it, and then step two, you mean it, and then you follow it, the step three. Those are all combined. The minute that your kid does something that you told them not to do, and they are very aware that they are not supposed to be doing it, you need to say, that's not okay. You need to mean, that's not okay. And you need to already be standing up to make something different. So let's take an example. We'll take the example earlier of shoes, right? So it's in the morning, you're trying to get to work. Or school, excuse me, trying to get the kids to school. And you look at your kids and say, okay, everybody, we need to get dressed. And little Mark is sitting there and he doesn't have his shoes on. And you walk and you look at him and say, Mark, I need you to put your shoes on. And you walk out. And then you come back in and you see that he has not put his shoes on. And he's still tinkering around with a toy that he had in his hands a few seconds ago. Okay, what do? Number one, you walk over there. You don't say a word. Don't say a word. Don't come in and say, Mark, I told you to put your shoes on. Don't say a word. You walk over there, and you grab them by the hands, and you escort them to their shoes. You may need to take the toy out of their hand. Whatever you do, listen so carefully to me, guys. Don't be mean. Don't be aggressive. Don't yank the toy out of their hand. Don't shout at them. Don't scowl at them. Don't grab them in a way that hurts. But you go over there and grab them firmly. We talked in another episode many months ago about what's the difference between firm and hard. And firm is unyielding, but it has a little bit, a tiny bit of give. Hard is just my way or the highway. It is rigid and inflexible. Be firm. Grab them by the hands. It needs to be hard enough they can't break loose, but not so hard that it's like they can't feel their fingers. So grab them firmly by the hands and escort them to the shoes. Once you get them to the shoes, tell them in a very firm, again, it needs to be firm, but a very even tone of voice. Now, I asked you to put your shoes on. You need to listen. Don't be mean. Don't be demanding. I told you to put your shoes on. You need to listen. No, it's not what I'm talking about. It needs to be very firm, yet very even tempered. Very even toned. I mean, almost in a monotone. I told you to put your shoes on. You need to listen. That's it. That is it right there. It needs to be calm. It needs to be flat. Because if you give them any sign that like you're trying to give them a reaction versus the response, it's going to end in failure. Why is that? That's what these actions are designed to do. They're trying to get a reaction from you. By resisting, or I saw the other day in an article a question that it asked another parenting coach. They said, well, what do I do if they tell me, well, I can't, right? More than likely, we know our kids, and if you know your kid is not mentally retarded or has a mental deficiency or a disorder or those kinds of things, or a physical ailment, those kind of things, as long as we know our kids don't have that, if they are perfectly capable, we know what they can do, and if they're telling you that they can't, they're doing it because they want a reaction from you, pure and simple. They want a reaction. So what's the difference between reaction and response? I mean, reaction is the negative version of something happening, you know, the opposite force, right? So you think about it this way, like a doctor. If a doctor comes in and says they're having a reaction to the medication, right? We know reaction is not a good thing. It's the opposite effect to the medication taking in that's not a good thing, right? Response is a good thing. The doctor comes in and says they're responding to the medication, right? We know that's a good thing. That means that it's working with and conjoining, right? So we don't want to give our kids a reaction because kids love this kind of stuff. They love getting reactions from us. They love power. I mean, kids really do. They love power. If a kid can feel like they can own us and control us and run us around, they're going to do it. It's just naturally what kids do. It's our job to teach them boundaries and to show them why that's not okay and what they should do different. Next off, so again, grab them by the hands firmly, escort them to the shoes, and then say flat, I asked you to put your shoes on. You need to listen. Biggest part right here. Do not lecture. Okay, guys? If you lecture a kid, you may feel like you're educating them on the wiles and the wisdom of parenting and parentdom. But that's what it is. It's parentdom. That's what lectures are. Because, again, this is just a reaction. I mean, honestly, how many of you guys have lectured your kids? And I'm raising my hand on this as well. How many of you have lectured your kids and it actually really worked? The next time that that problem came around, they went, oh, my father told me that the next time that I don't like food, then what I should do is say, mother, I do not care for this. Right? I mean, how often does that work with a young kid, especially from the 6 on down? It's very rare. It is very rare. In most cases, it goes in one ear and then goes right out the other. Next off, in terms of how do we get our kids to do it on the first try, here's one of the most important parts. Make doing the right thing advantageous. Ryan, if your boss comes in and says, hey, I want you to make sure that you do an extra 5-page report on this. And maybe you hate reports, right? You don't like them. So they come in and say, hey, I need you to do the reports. I need you to add the extra 5-page to this. Right? If they do that, you're going to make, man, maybe you don't want to lose your job, but maybe you do a crappy job. But what if he comes in and says, hey, I need you to do an extra 5-page report. For every extra 5 pages of the report that you do, I'll pay you an extra $100. Right? Now, that's going to motivate me. I want to get $100. Right? Make it advantageous for your kids. Reward them. Give them rewards. So what happens when you come in to tell them to put their shoes on and their shoes are already on? Holy smokes. Good job for already having your shoes on. I'm very impressed. And then reward them. You know what they like. We do the pebble system here in our family. And so they get rewards as they get more stuff. But you know what your kid likes? Figure out what those things are and then make sure to make it very advantageous to do it right. And then last, allow logical consequences. I love this one. I'm going to read you guys just kind of a clip from what Miss Allison said. And she was telling a story about a mom had contacted her about walking in, and she said, "Hey, it's time for you to get dressed. It's time to go to work." And the kid's like, "Oh, okay," and started playing with the toy and fiddle farting around and all that stuff. And mom came back in, and it was time to leave. And the kid was in her PJs. She said, "Okay, let's go." And she walked over, she grabbed a bag, and she grabbed some of his clothes and threw it in the bag. Didn't let him see him do it, but threw him in the clothes. And he was like, "What? Yeah, you're gonna go to school in your PJs." Why? Why would you do that? And she was like, hey, listen, this is not about what I'm trying to do to you. It's that I told you a minute ago to get dressed. You heard me, right? Yeah, well, yeah, but I didn't. Yeah. And she took him to school. And then, of course, in the car, he freaked out. I don't want to. She goes, hey, I packed your bag of clothes. Why don't you get dressed when we get to the school? And she had him in the car get dressed with some clothes that she had picked out. But I think that's brilliant. Allow kids to suffer not natural consequences with these kinds of things. I just think that's brilliant parenting. Make sure you do it with the right motivations. I mean, don't do it for the purpose of embarrassing. Don't do it with the purpose of, well, I'm going to prove a point, right? But do make it to be the motivation of, Hey, I tried to warn you. I didn't want you to go to school looking like this. I swear to you, I didn't. But I also said that you needed to get dressed. And because you didn't listen, remember we talk about that in teaching our kids to take ownership, you know, because you didn't do this, then you've got to go to school in your pajamas. It's a great way to teach right there. Well, guys, I hope that you enjoyed this episode of TheFamilyPodcastNetwork.com. Hope you gained something out of this. Guys, remember, one of the things I can really use from you, if you will like this on Facebook, share this episode with your friends. Let them know what you liked about it. I'm telling you, that's the best way to pitch this out to everybody who's listening on iTunes and Stitcher. And I see my Zune Marketplace folks that are out there as well. If you get a chance, swing over to the site. Make sure you hit the share button. And like it over there, guys. Also, if you will, like the Family Podcast Network on Facebook, which again is www.facebook.com/Family Podcast Network. And go and like me over there. I really want my inside stuff, man. That's the cool stuff for nerds like me that do websites. So, anyway, love it if you guys do that. I'd really appreciate it. It means a lot to me. Well, guys, I hope you guys have a wonderful and great evening. You know what I've noticed? Every time I get to my extra, I always say guys a lot. So I'm sorry if I overguy you. But hey, I hope y'all have a good rest of the day, good rest of the week. Enjoy your Wednesday, and we'll see you guys for the Real Family Guys podcast this Friday.